All right, I have a list I'd like to show you. I think it should be the first thing. Okay, what is likely to happen to you if you eat breakfast daily, are being willing to be hungry but don't skip meals, good sleep, eat good food, chew it and savor it, weigh yourself daily, get out of your chair, walk around, take stairs, and know that being satisfied is better than being stuffed? What's likely to happen to you? Healthy, maintain your weight, lose weight. Yes, this is a recipe for, hey, if you're trying to shed some pounds or trying to maintain, you know, a healthy physique, you could do these things. And it's a reminder, and we'll get back to this in just a second, it's a reminder that your future is built by your todays. Whatever you're doing today, the habits you have, the patterns you have, the things that you're active and involved in, that builds your future. So that's my general premise that I want to work on today, is that our todays build our future. Because we're in a sermon series about living your faith, building your future. So if we're living our faith, building our future, how do we build our future? And I'm like, well, let's think about it. Well, we can't do the future, we only do today. And what we do today creates our future. So what future do you want? What do you want for your future? In your sermon notes, if you've pulled those out yet, there's a blank. Do you want to be blank? What could you put in there? Well, let's say I want to be thinner, or I want to be thin. So you can go to Google, and you can Google and say, what do skinny people do? So I did that, and let's see the Google results here. All right. What skinny people do, the 8 secrets of naturally slim, 6 foods that skinny people eat, 9 ways, can I lose it, 20 habits. So that's where that list came from. I just went and said, okay, what do these articles say that thin people do, and then let's create our list. That's a really good way to, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a good athlete? Well, what do athletes do? How often do they train? What patterns do they establish? What disciplines do they have? Do you want to be financially secure? Okay, that's, you know, Dave Ramsey's really big on that. Well, if you want to be a millionaire, figure out what millionaires do. If you want to have children that grow up to love the Lord and serve the Lord, you find people who already have adult children who are loving the Lord and serving the Lord and say, well, what did they do? We learn really well by example of saying, what do I want to go for, and who is an example of that I can follow? Who can I learn from? We want to have a great future. What people who have a great legacy, who are they and what did they do? What was their established patterns in life? So I was thinking about that. Okay, people with great legacies. And, well, Jesus sort of comes to mind. I mean, there's an entire world movement that's transformed societies. But while Jesus was fully human, he also had that whole fully God thing going. He had a different starting place than most of us. So that's sort of a challenging example to go with. But what about Abraham? Abraham is the legacy of faith. I don't know, if you grew up going to church, you might have sung, Father Abraham and many sons. You know, because Father Abraham is the very start of the nation of Israel. And Israel is the very start of Jesus and Christianity. So talk about a legacy. From this one man comes a transformed world. So we're going to look at Abraham this morning. And just a quick overview. So Abraham was with his family, and God said, hey, I'd like you to leave your family and go to this land where you don't know anybody. And he went and set up there, and then God moved him around a number of different times. But in this was a promise, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. But Abraham, it wasn't a straight shot. You know, he had to run around, he lied, he had a very tumultuous life. You know, he got in a thing with his nephew, and his nephew took the good land, and he took the bad land. But through it all, he trusted God, he believed God. And in the Bible, Abraham is held up again and again of an example of faith. So we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And we looked at this last week. Let's say this together. Go ahead and read this with me. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is what the ancients, including Abraham, were commended for. So now here, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 19, all about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, his sons, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. By faith, even though he was well past age, and Sarah, his wife, herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that were promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return and go back. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "Through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I just want to spend a couple minutes working through this passage, looking at the different aspects of faith of how Abraham lived. What did Abraham do? If we want to hold up a model, we need to examine it. Not just say, wow, that's great that Abraham did that, but what did Abraham do? First, Abraham obeyed and went. Abraham obeyed and went. If you click on the... Yeah, you got it. All right. It says in there, well, he didn't really know where he was going. It wasn't a familiar place, but God called, and he said, okay, I'll do that. Seems pretty amazing, but when you think about how amazing it is, because when now, if you or I take a step of faith, we have this entire witness of all the times God has been faithful. All the ways God speaks to people, guides people. We've got this record. We've got all of church history to look back on and say, oh, you know, think of, you know, this person, this person, this person. And we can look at their examples. Abraham was just sort of going in the dark. He was the first, the pioneer. And still he obeyed without knowing. But he looked forward expectantly. He was looking towards a city that God would build. There was no city yet, but he looked forward expectantly, enduring the less than ideal. It says, well, you know, he lived in tents. I don't think that was put there as a positive thing. Oh, hey, he got to go camping in the desert for a long time. No, this was not a good thing. It was enduring the less than ideal, knowing that there was something better ahead that God would create and build. But he also trusted God to be faithful, even when facing the impossible. Here is this old man and this old woman, and God says, "Huh, you're going to have a son biologically." And they're like, I mean, literally his wife laughed at the idea. This is not going to happen. But he trusted God to be faithful. The one who said this, he said, "Okay, I'm going to believe it." So these are things that his sort of his positioning of his I'm going to believe it, I'm going to act. But he also maintained an eternal perspective which included heaven. That idea of this world, this time, right now, is not all there ever will be. I think one of the struggles we have in today's society is we want it all. You know, you read about that in magazines, you see it on TV, you know, I want it all. I want the career, the family, the vacations, I want it all. And the reality is we can't get it all here and now. But with an eternal perspective, we say ultimately God will give it all to us. Something better ahead. And then there's a willingness to sacrifice, to receive the best future. I could spend multiple sermons talking about Abraham taking his one and only son and taking him with plans to sacrifice him. I mean, it sounds brutal and barbaric, and what was God thinking, and how was this acting? There's so much in there. But when we think about it, here was the treasure that Abraham had. And God said, "I want you to even offer that up to me." And he goes up onto the mountain, and he's about to sacrifice his son, and God says, "No, stop. Here's a ram. Use that instead." But Abraham showed that he was willing to sacrifice anything and everything for the best that God had to offer. Going back to that idea of obeying when called and asked. Just some quick lessons of an amazing example. What would happen if we lived our life like this? If when we get a nudge from God, we just obey and do it. If we look with expectation. It's so easy to look back. Say, "Oh, well, it was good then," or, "Well, I wish it could be like that." Especially, you know, in a church like ours that has a long and really good history. We can say, "Oh, well, what if we go back to that?" But instead saying, let's look forward expectantly. God's not done. God has great things in store. And even at times when we say, "How on earth could this happen?" Saying, "Nope, God is faithful." There's a willingness to be obedient. And then there's a proper perspective. Knowing that there is more, there is better, there is an eternal view. Yesterday, Jennifer was at a gift shop, and there was clearance, and there were these little cards that she picked up, and she actually thought they were magnets, and then we put them on the fridge, and they fell. They're not magnets. But it was interesting. This one was right on top of the stack, and I picked it up, and it said, "This day is part of a larger plan." Now, there's a perspective of how we live today builds our future, and it's part of a larger plan. Even the fact that this was sitting on the kitchen table this morning, and I picked it up and said, "Oh, what's that? Oh, hey, there's my sermon on a card." This day, each moment, is part of a larger plan. And we keep that in mind. We follow the example of Abraham. So Abraham is a great example. But this is a church where we say we want to invite people and teach people to follow Jesus. So what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say about this? Jesus says that the future is not in your hands, but today is. The same message, slightly different. The future is not in your hands. Whose hands is the future in? The future's in God's hands. But today is in your hands. Now, why do I say that? Well, Jesus said this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Focus on today. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Whose kingdom? Whose righteousness? God the Father's. That's the Jesus is saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about where you're going to live. Don't worry about all these things. God knows that you need them. Seek God's kingdom. Seek what God is doing. Seek where God is. A while back, I gave that definition. What's God's kingdom? It's what God's doing, where God's, what God's doing, where God is, and where we should be heading. Seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, His right way of living, His right way of living, relating to others. Seek these things, and then God's going to build a great future for you. God's going to take care of the details in your life. He knows what you need. We last week looked at a verse in Hebrews 11:6 and said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then it went on and says that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Again, that same message. We do the seeking today. We do the seeking in our lives. And God provides the reward. God builds the future. We don't have to worry about it. But the opposite is sort of true too. If we make bad decisions now, we end up reaping a less than ideal future. And there are all sorts of short-term examples we can use this. You think of a hangover. Okay, I drink too much tonight. The next day I have that regret. I buy too much today. The next time the credit card bill comes, I've got a huge debt. That same principle is true in life. Are we seeking God? Are we seeking God's righteousness in each decision that we make? Are we obeying God when God prompts us? Are we trusting God with the big picture? And if we are, then all these good things can come to us. And it's not all, everybody here is going to be living in a 5,000 square foot house, have two cars and a boat and a this and a that. No, that's not the rewards necessarily. But big picture of a life that leaves a great legacy, of a life that had meaning and purpose, a life that blessed other people and was loved by other people, a life with hope and joy and love. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You build a great future with every decision you make today. Find good examples. Look at Abraham. Look at Jesus. Look at those around you who live a life of faith. And seek to put those things into your life today. And God will take care of your tomorrow. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's just busy worrying about itself. All we need to do is seek You today. All we need to do is seek what You're doing and where You are today. To live out Your righteousness today. May we ever live in this moment knowing that You are here with us. Loving us, caring for us, walking with us in the hard times and in the joyous times. Knowing every need that we have, every correction that's necessary, every support and encouragement that's necessary. Lord, I just pray that each one of us can look expectantly to the future, to what You will build around us and through us and with us. In Jesus' name, amen.